Blog Talk Radio.
For all those times you stood by me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right, for every dream you made so true, for all the love I found in you.
Radio, listening to Against All Odds with Renita Graves and Ayana Muhammad. Tonight, we will be talking about those mother-daughter relationships. I do, before we get started, want to wish all of our mothers that's listening and all of our mothers that are calling in and all of our daughters a happy Mother's Day. Ayana.
Yep, happy Mother's Day. Yes, ma'am.
We're talking about mother-daughter relationships this week, girl.
I know, right? Like, everybody has to have that, right?
Yeah, you would think, you know.
You would think.
It's something that everybody would want to have a good, effective relationship with their mom, but there's some instances where it's just not.
No. But I think what it really is this different type of relationships that I think daughters can have with their mothers and vice versa.
I agree.
You know, some people be like, my mama, that's my best friend. Like, okay, me and my mom not best friends, but that don't mean, you know what I'm saying? So it's like everybody has their own type of relationship with their mother. So it's always different types of relationships, but it's always definitely good to have one. And then if you don't have a good one, how do you improve on it? I think that's what we need to let them know today.
That's what you want to let. That's what you want to talk about today? How to improve a mother-daughter relationship. If they are toxic, I really want to hear, a mother-daughter relationship that's really a good relationship. I hear so much in the streets about mothers and daughters and how they're estranged and how they don't talk to each other or how they're mad at each other or the daughter has done something or
right.
The mom has done something that is keeping them away from having that special bond. When I look, you know, I have two daughters, and I have, technically I have four. Between me and my husband, we have four daughters. But before we got married, with my two daughters, when I had them, I wanted to be that first impression of what a woman was supposed to be. So I never allowed them to see me laying in the bed, collecting assistance. Nothing wrong with those who have, because the system is there to help people. But I wanted them to see me, even at my lowest times, getting up, going to work, getting up, going to
just
school, continuing my education, so that they would have that type of mother figure to look at. And I got that from my mother. I watched my mother get up every day and work two jobs, and my mom still works. And, my work ethic, I know hands down, came from my mom. From ever since I could keep something, retain information, it's always been my mom got up to go to work. I cannot remember a time in my 45 years of living that my mom wasn't working unless she was sick.
Ooh.
So,
like, really? Oh.
Really, yes. So, and I wanted to be that figure for my daughters so that they would see, in spite of whatever you're going through, you can still be a strong Black woman and still get up and do
mm-hmm.
and don't lay around and be lazy.
Now, I agree with that. I know there's a lot of things that I got from my mother. Now, I'm not going to say she worked while I was growing up, but that was because my dad was there and she didn't have to work. So I learned how to keep house and cook and clean and all that because she didn't have to work. But when it came to a point to where she started working, then I would say I get a lot of my grinding from my mother. We both laugh at the fact that we don't really believe in getting to work real early. That's something we have in common, but I assume I get that from her.
You're supposed to be able to look at your mother and see, but then I look at a lot of girls that I mentor, and a lot of them have where their mom didn't raise them. So they don't have that mother-daughter relationship with their mom. They have it with their grandmother or their auntie or something like that. So their mother is more like their sister or their cousin. So, they talk to them with the non-respect. And they treat them as if they weren't their mother.
Yeah.
I see that a lot.
I have to be honest. I haven't seen that as much. I have a friend. She tells me how she talks to her mother every day riding home from work. So, like,
I try to talk to my mom every day.
Yeah, they're really, really close. I make sure, I'll be honest, I don't talk to my mother every day. But we probably have, I think what I found on my research online, how I do. They call it the Sunday night caller. Because I try to make sure I at least talk to her like once or twice a week. Just, the touch base, what's going on, how's everything up there. So it's not like we talk every day. But I would say she probably gets like maybe a text message or something like that. But no, we don't talk every day. But I don't think that's a toxic relationship. I actually think that's a good relationship for us. Does that make sense? And like,
it most likely will be, depending on the eye.
Yeah.
But your mom doesn't live here either, correct?
Nope, she doesn't. She does not.
Okay,
she
so
in
my
Chicago
mom lives in Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I try to, you know, I try to talk to her at least every other day. I try to at least text and call, and I guarantee you, if I don't call or talk to her in 2 days, I'm getting a crazy
mm-hmm.
phone call or text message. Believe that.
Right. Like, what's going on? Everything good? I ain't heard.
Yeah.
One of those.
You ain't call me.
Right,
and then I didn't understand
okay.
growing up, you know, when my mom worked all the time, I was like, where's my mama? She's not here. It didn't take until I got grown and had kids of my own to say, okay, well, I have to work. It's things that my mom had to do when I was younger
mm-hmm.
that I didn't understand in order to have the things that we needed and you know, wanted. So now I'm looking so now I work all the time, and I'm sure my kids have that same feeling.
Right, like you see how you were feeling through them.
Yeah.
Like, because you're working all the time, yeah. See, but I think the key thing is to understand that, like any relationship, it goes through phases. So, like, when you're younger, you know, like, yeah, you may have the best friend relationship, you know, but it goes through phases. And I think in your mother-daughter relationship, it has to fit both people. Like, it has to fit both of you. So, like you're saying, you work all the time. So you know that you still have to make that time to call your mother. And when you don't, she's looking for you. You know what I'm
she's
saying?
She's looking for me.
It's like,
yes,
she's looking
baby,
for you.
She's looking
like,
for
I
me.
Don't know.
Hey, I'm going to get a text message.
Right.
I ain't hear from you today. Hope everything is all right. And I'm like, dang. Because my intentions are to make sure I just want her to hear my voice, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever.
No.
Hear my voice. I want to hear her voice. I want to make sure that we're both okay.
Yeah.
But then we have to think about these other types of relationships that mother and daughters have. Because actually, Ayana, when I was doing this research and when I was talking to people out in the streets about mother-daughter, it was heartbreaking to know and to hear how many people they really don't have a good relationship with their mother. So let's talk about, these mother-daughter toxic relationships. And I'm going to put it out there because I'm transparent and I do this, I think, on every show. Me and one of my daughters right now are not talking. Haven't talked in probably about 3 weeks. So hopefully there's a caller or even you that can say something to me to get this stubbornness out of me. Because my issue is about respect.
I got some info for you.
I flat out refuse to allow disrespect in my house.
Right.
Flat out.
Me and my mom, me and my mother haven't always had a perfect relationship. I'll be honest. But I think what we did was, like I said, we had to find ways for our relationship to fit us. My mother is a busybody. The running joke in our family is she was, she's always busier than Michelle Obama. So we like, it doesn't make sense. When you call her, she has 12 different conversations with 12 different people. You just on the phone is number 13 waiting on your turn. I'd be like, Mama, just call me back. She'd be like, hold on 1 minute. And she's telling all these people at work what to do, and she's doing this and doing that. I'd be like, just call me back. Like, you know what I'm saying? So we had to go through that struggle of understanding, when I call you, I'm either going to need your full attention or you can call me back. And we had to get to that. Like you say, I'm just calling to touch base, make sure you're okay. I haven't heard from you. You haven't heard from me. But I think we had to get there. So now she knows when you got 9 things going on, just tell me you'll call me back. I'm okay. I ain't going to get upset about it. It ain't nothing personal.
I had to laugh because me and my mom do that same thing. She'll call me, I'm at work, and I'm just talking in the background. Or I call her, she's at work, and we both are like, okay, well, call me back. I'll be like, no, hold on. I'm not done.
Right.
So I think that's the norm.
Right.
Well, the phone lines, Ayana, are blowing up. So we have a few callers that want to say something. I'm going to pull one on the line now and see if they want to chime in on this topic, and then we'll get back to it. I'm going to pick up caller with the last four of 4610. Good evening, caller. Do you want to chime in on this topic tonight, or are you just listening? Hello?
Just listening.
Okay, I'll put you back in the queue. Let's pick up caller with the last four of 4446. Good evening, caller. Are you calling to chime in on this topic tonight, or are you just listening?
I can chime in. This is Tina.
Hey, Tina.
Hey, Tina.
Hey. I'm chiming in. Okay, I have a question. Like,
okay.
I don't have my mom anymore. My mom passed away 17 years ago.
Okay.
And it is hard.
Sorry to hear about that.
And I see people who disrespect their mothers, I have a real issue with that. And that's because I always feel like you only get one. You only get one mama.
But just
listening to you all and reminiscing about my mom. My mom was very dominant. You know, she was a single mother, raising two kids on her own, you know, worked hard, like you said, work. That's all she did. But she was very dominant. But where I had the balance is with my grandmother. And that's my name. Because that was my nurturer. That she taught me how to be a nurturer.
Okay.
But I find that a lot of my issues, like Renita, you know, I buck anytime somebody tells me what to do. I have issues with authority because growing up with a mom that is so strong-willed, you know, it's like as I still getting that. I find myself when people come at me, I still find myself being that little girl, and I'm like, I am not.
Taking what you got to say. Yeah.
Even right or wrong. Yeah, I could be wrong as all tomorrow, but I'm just not going to do, you know, what you say to do. But I love this topic because it does make me reflect, and I do miss my mom. Mm-hmm. It makes me reflect on if she could tell me what to do one more time, I would pay anything for that. So for everybody,
I understand.
Your mother is still living. Embrace her. Love her. Because I'm telling you, when you can't hear her voice anymore, trust
a hard pill to swallow.
I know it. I understand.
So that's all I had to say.
Well, thank you for chiming in. I'm going to put you back in the queue, and I hope you continue to listen.
I am.
Thank you.
Now,
bye, ladies.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay,
you know,
so
it's
Tina
funny.
Said, at the
it's,
end of the day, you only have one mom. Good, bad, or indifferent, you have to embrace the fact that you have a mom and come to some type of median. And I do agree.
I agree, because honestly, that's why I had to realize and identify the type of relationship that me and my mom was going to have and improve on that and understand that that's what it's going to be because of that. Like, I'm like, I only get this one, so even when I call her and she got a million things to do, I'm just going to keep calling until I get her attention.
Yeah, don't give up.
Yes, that's one of the things they said to improve on toxic relationships is that somebody has to make that move, has to make that effort. I mean,
in order to improve, I guess it depends on what happened to make you and your mom estranged. Like, what was the issue? Was it something that you did as a daughter, or was it something that your mom did as a mother? Because let's talk about that. Let's talk about each one overstepping their boundaries. What are the boundaries of the mother-daughter relationship?
Well, so I'll speak for me. I don't think it was any of the above. I think it was a matter of, I think what happened was I moved away when I was young. I was like right after college, I moved away. So you go away to college, I'm 16, done with college, I'm 20, 21, and then I'm in my own apartment. And so I feel like I came into being like a grown woman, and she really didn't see that. You know what I'm saying? So
okay.
It, to, to me, what it was like, I would feel like in my mind, you know, because it's really what you tell yourself. In my mind, I would think she was still thinking I was that 16-year-old, like, nah, I'm grown. Like, I don't want to eat my vegetables. Like, you can't make me eat my vegetables, you know. So I think it was a matter of me becoming a woman and feeling like she hadn't identified that. And she probably did, and maybe I was trying to be overly like, no, I'm grown, when she might have already saw it. And I think that's what kind of put a distance between us, because it was literal physical distance, and then me feeling like I'm a woman too, so you got to talk to me as an adult, and not thinking that she saw that. And I think that's okay. What our issue was. But
so,
you know,
okay, I mean, I understand what you're saying, and I get that. So yeah. I mean, I think you're right. She probably missed out on that, you going from a young lady, teenager,
right.
Then bam, here you come, you're an adult. So these years, crucial years, she kind of sort of missed. So I'm,
like,
you know, me
that
as a mother,
missed them. Yeah, it's
thinking
not
that part right there,
them.
that mm-hmm. I want to be the part, I want to be a, so she may have felt kind of slighted. I missed out on something. Like, she left a baby and she's back a grown woman, and what happened to
right.
my baby?
But
you can't get offended by
that. Yeah, but it's not that she missed it, like she wasn't a part of my life, because I'm like, she's at home. I come home on the weekends from college. I think sometimes in my situation, I don't think mothers are sometimes ready to identify their daughters as grown women. And because what they think in their mind is, if you a grown woman, you know, we equals. And it's like, no, we're not equals.
No,
you still the mother.
No.
That's what I'm saying. You still the mother. I'm still the daughter, but I'm grown too. You know, like.
So
you know,
there you have it. So, okay, so we're going to pause right there. I'm going to put a bullet right there, because
okay.
I don't want to get past this topic. Two grown
mm-hmm.
women. Boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where
yeah.
do you, the mother or the daughter being grown, cross that line? Because I'm all the way grown. I'm so grown. It's ridiculous. I've moved away from Indianapolis twice. I've lived in Texas.
Yeah.
I've been in Atlanta for the last 10 years. But even when I'm mad, it bothers
right.
me when a cuss word slips out in front of my mom. I don't allow anybody else to cuss in front of my mom, even though they're grown. That's just something, you know, the boundaries. Let's
mm-hmm.
talk about that. Because
mm-hmm.
it's messy, and it's a gray area when you're looking at two grown yeah. people.
I think, so in most situations, I think the best way for a mother to identify their child is grown is probably when they had their own child, right? Like, she's married,
right.
she got her own kid. Like, I think that's easier for a mother to identify that their daughter is grown. But then it's like, if you don't have no kids and you're not married, it's kind of hard for them to still see you in that grown light. But it's like, look, I pay my own bills. And I, you know, I'm like you. I've been grown for a long time. But I think it's hard as mothers to let go. Like, that's still their baby. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's still
yeah.
my baby.
And you want your daughter to do the right thing, especially if you've gone through
right.
so much in life. You don't want your child to have
yeah.
to go through anything. So are you overstepping your boundaries
yeah.
because you step in and you say, hey, that ain't cool. Don't do that. And get so mad and emotional about them doing something
right.
that you know that they should not do, to where it starts the argument. We got some more callers, like the phone lines are blowing
well, let's take them.
Up.
Let's
like,
take them.
Blowing up. So I want to take another call, but I want to talk about the toxic relationships and how we can help people resolve those, people
mm-hmm.
like me. Caller with the last four of 0899.
Hello.
Good evening, caller. How are you?
Hi, sister. I'm good.
I'm doing fine. We're talking about mother-daughter relationships, good, bad, and indifferent. Got something you want to say about that?
Well, it's only an hour long, so you're going to have to go part two.
Oh, Lord, we got so many part two shows. I'm trying to figure out how we're going to do TV.
It also chimes in, it can also go back to what you previously said in other shows. It's also a generational curse as well. A lot of times when you have a mother-daughter toxic relationship, it stems from the mother and the type of relationship that she had with her own mom. I know for me, it is a strain because I get it on two ends, because I get it with my own mother and then I get it with my own child. So it's hard because for me, when you're a single mother, so you're trying to play the roles of two people. And you do whatever you think you're supposed to do as a parent, but then you have your relationship gets strained because you want your child, your daughter, to do better or to do the things that you chose as a child to skip out on or didn't pursue. Not so much living your life through them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard and it's stressful because if your relationship is not as strong with your own mother, who do you turn to help
to get
you
that advice.
And to get through the situation? And then when you have your mother, who your relationship is not the greatest, play, it's like two parents, like a parent plays two parents.
Mm-hmm.
They do the same thing with the grandma. And it's hard because you can never get, that's usually who the child runs to. It's either the grandma or the aunt. That's usually who they run.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So when you have the grandma that always comes back at what your mother did and what did she do, things of that nature.
And you're going to get that back 10 times fold.
Yep.
Exactly.
Yep.
The thing is what I'm seeing at this point is a certain age that we have to let them go and begin to bump their own head, because like you're not going to deal with the disrespect, and you're a hard worker and you feel that you've done your best. But I know there's things that as moms that we could fix. But they get so grown where they do feel that there are equals. That's why they get enough nuts to talk crazy.
Okay. Okay.
They get enough nuts to
radio. So you can say things
like
that.
I said nuts. I didn't cuss. You know,
out of nowhere, that's fine. That's the luxury of being able to
the internet.
An internet radio show.
They also feel, you know, that's when they get it to the point where they do feel like they woman enough. But then they not realize that they not really taking care of themselves. The whole point is, no, we don't want that strain in our relationship. We don't, and it hurts us dearly. It cuts like somebody throwing salt in an open wound. Because especially if you have been a mother that has been there, you're not a drunk, you're not a dope fiend. You've raised your kids, and you can't understand. So that's when, at some point, you have to just, I guess,
put it in God's hands. That's what I've done. That's where I'm at now. I prayed about it. I'm gonna let it go. I just won't. You know, I gotta. At some point in time, you got to take what you've done and what you showed and pray that the light bulb will come on and they'll be able to see their wrongdoings, or if they feel like it's not wrongdoings, at least they'll be able to see where you're coming from when you're telling them stuff.
But let me ask you this.
Hopefully.
Okay, but let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter's grown, right?
Correct.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in those situations, when you take your situation and my situation, she's grown, so you got to kind of let her really fall and hit the ground a little bit to see the life that you've been trying to tell her and warn her about that you try to shield them from. You try to shield them, but school them at the same time. But then when you got me, that mine ain't grown yet, and you can't really drop the ball like you want to. What are you doing in those situations? Because you're still responsible for them.
Right.
You can't really just cook.
Got
to feed them. You got to do that. So what do you do in that point? Because you don't want to beat them up, because the society today, and I work in a school, and I know that they do it. They tell you what your parent can't do or what they think your parent can't do, or you can go on call DCS. But see, I'm one of them that'll say, well, call them, because I want them to come get you, and I'm going to take my time taking the parenting class.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
I know you can't.
I'm just saying, well, what do you do in those situations? You can't allow them to keep.
Let me ask you this. So how old is your daughter?
16.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We all know that's dangerous. I'm grown.
That's the teenage age. I'm grown. I went through it. I know. Lord, I went through it. My mom is listening. Let me apologize now for the stuff that I did when I was a teenager. Because, God, I was bad.
But the truth is, it does come down to communication. I know that sounds crazy, because it's like, this is your house, and she's still 16 and needs to do and live by your rules. But my question would be is there something that's really bothering her that she hasn't been able to communicate, which is causing the rift in y'all relationship?
I feel that she takes the fact that her father ain't in her life out on me.
Okay. So, honestly, if you said that your mother was a single mother and you're a single mother, then honestly, it sounds like it's really something that y'all can relate to. And you have to figure out how to communicate that to her so you can build the bond from there.
My mother wasn't a single. She wasn't single, but she was. She was married, but then divorced.
Right.
But when it came to the mothering, she tries, and as always, she'd rather be our friend more.
Mm-hmm.
Even with our grandkids, than our mother.
And see, that's one of the things that we spoke about. It's time.
Yeah.
It's that those boundaries. You got to draw the line. I'm not your friend.
Right.
We can be friendly, but we can definitely not be friends. You can't talk to me like you talk to your friends. You can't act in front of me the way you act in front of your friends. There has to be a line drawn. And the parents have to stick to that line. Put your foot down.
Yeah.
I tell you what,
but
dropping them off, let them see right now you're living a good life.
Take her to a
bunch of homeless people in the home, because I know that there's some homeless teenagers out there living on the streets. Or there's some mothers with daughters that are homeless and living on the streets. So take her to see the other side. You got this over here, and you got it made. So all that lip and that attitude that you're giving me, you can very well be one of these kids over here with next to nothing. Humble her.
But I think you got to stop it, though. Like she said, it could be a generational curse. So you really want to try to find something that can bring y'all together. Something. If it's something as little as both of y'all sitting watching the same TV show at one time, something to kind of build off of, though. Because that's the only way I think you're going to stop it from her passing on to her daughter. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it could possibly happen. But that would be my advice to the caller. But I'm no therapist. I just Google a lot.
Come on, Google's your friend.
Google's my friend.
I'm going to put you back in queue. Thank you for your insight and sharing your experience with us tonight. I hope you continue to listen.
Thank you. I will.
Good night and happy Mother's Day.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay, Ayana.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So you got the teenagers, and then you have the adult children.
Yes, I think the adult relationship is probably easier to rectify than the teenager one, but that's only because as a teenager, they don't really know who they are. So to try to establish a relationship with somebody who don't know who they are, it's pretty difficult.
And then they have a lot of peer pressure.
Yeah, but you still got to find, like in the caller's case, find something that you and your daughter can do together. She may have an attitude about doing it at first, but it should be something that she likes, because at that age, the responsibility is on the mother to better the relationship, not on a 16-year-old child. You know what I'm saying? So as a mother, you have to find what she likes, and you all do that together. Now, if it's an adult relationship, I think that can fall on either party. If you 32, 42, and you having a problem with your mother who's obviously older, that can be either person needs to reach out to improve that. That could be either party. But if it's a teenager, I think it falls on the mother to try to rectify it.
Hmm.
That's my Google.
Interesting.
My Google research didn't tell me that. I actually came up with that on my own. No, I came up with that on my own. I thought that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
So, okay, so while we're on this mother thing and caller, and I see a few more callers coming in, and I'm going to get to you shortly, so continue to listen. But I do want to go over these insights on improving mother-daughter relationships. The first one is make the first move. Somebody at some point, and we just talked about that, somebody at some point in a grown relationship has to make the first move. If you know that you wronged your mother, or you know that you, in your heart, you know, because we know right from wrong.
Mm-hmm.
We know right from wrong. That you've hurt or harmed your daughter, vice versa. Make the first move.
Yeah.
Be the bigger person. Apologize. It's not even about being the bigger person, because what you don't want is for something to happen to either one, and you're not speaking. That's gonna be, that's the worst thing in the world. I know somebody who's going through that right now was not speaking to her child, and the child passed away. And that guilt is eating her from the inside out.
Inside out.
The
and
second
all
thing
was one
is
phone call,
change yourself.
Exactly.
If you're being accused by your child, or you're being accused by your mother of being this type of person, take a step back. You don't want to purposely hurt anybody's feelings, regardless of who it is, but especially not your mother. Take a step back.
See, like the caller said, you sometimes, when they reach a certain age, you do have to let them make their own mistakes. You can't control them and baby them throughout their lives. So they have to make their own mistakes. Now, you can advise them. And if they don't take your advice, as a parent, you can't get mad and be like, oh, you'll never listen, or you hard-headed, or this. Just fall back and let them come back to you and be like, you know what? My mama was right about that.
Yeah.
You know, you have to be able to
step outside and take a look at yourself, a deep look at yourself, and say, you know what? I have been doing this. Or I could do something better. And then you have to have realistic expectations. Don't set your expectations for either or so high that you know in your mind and your heart that they ain't going to be able to do it. You would want them to do
like
it. Set expectations off of something that you want. You have to set realistic expectations that person.
Like with me and my mom's relationship, I already know me calling her every day, it's not going to work out for her schedule. That's not realistic because she's busy. You know, so I have to make a realistic line and say, it don't make sense for me to call her every day because I'm not going to get what I need out of her every single day. And it's not that she's doing anything wrong. She's just, she works. So she's busy. So it has to be realistic. I agree with that one.
Communication.
That's,
talk
that's
to
no
each
brainer.
Other. Don't holler at each other. Talk.
And
it has to be effective dialogue. It can't be you talking, I'm talking at the same time because somebody's not listening. And that's
and
the next one.
I'll
be an active listener.
Yeah, but I'll add to add to the communication one.
Mm-hmm.
There's a text time and there's a call time. If you are having communication problems with somebody, do not try to resolve it via text message.
Oh, no.
It's never going to be received correctly. Yes. And that goes to the mothers that are dealing with the young daughters because they don't really like to talk on the phone. All they really do is text. No. Sit down face-to-face or a phone call. Texting is not a line of communication for improving relationships at all. Just the FYI.
Okay. It says here that you need to repair the damage quickly. Don't let it fester. The longer you let it go, the more complacent you get with not talking.
Yep. And then probably forget what you was mad about. You forgot why you mad. You've been mad so long. Yeah.
Unless you me.
Well,
you me. You don't know exactly why you mad. When you got mad, why you got mad, how long you been mad, down to the minute.
At 7:22 on a Thursday, I was mad. Don't take notes about your madness. Don't do that. What else you got on the list?
Learn to forgive. Woo!
Okay.
I must admit, forgiving is one of my worst traits. And God is working on me. God is working on me, and he got a long way to go. But that is one thing that I fight with myself to do is forgive. Especially when I know I've done nothing wrong.
Here's one. Put yourself in her shoes. I think sometimes as mothers, they forget that at one point you were her. You were in that situation trying to be on your own and be grown and had your mother harassing you and forgetting how you felt when your mother was doing to you what you're now doing to her. And I think that to me is a key one, is putting yourself in her shoes and understanding where she's at in life and knowing that you've been there before. You know what I'm saying? I think that's one. Yep. Yep.
Balance, individuality, and closeness.
Balance, individuality, and closeness.
Make a balance. You can't make your daughter be you. You can't live your life through your daughter. If you miss those teenage years and those 28 years because you was doing something else, like being a mother to her, you cannot say, oh, I wanted to be a cheerleader. You're going to be a cheerleader.
Right.
Don't push
what you wanted
onto your child.
Right. Hey, but you know,
you can't do that.
Honest,
you can't live vicariously through these kids. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be good.
You can't. But I think, like you said, there's a balance with that. So what you can say is, you know, you always wanted to be a cheerleader. And you never did it. You can tell her that and then let her make the choice of, in other words, you're trying to say when it's something you want to do, you should always do it because you never know when you're not going to be able to do it no more. So it's how you present it to where you're not being pushy as a mother. So that's that balance.
It's that dominant. I'm going to stop right here on number 10. Agree to disagree. You're not always going to have the same views on everything. It's in our nature to disagree with our parents because we think we know everything.
Exactly. But parents need to identify that and understand at one point you thought you knew everything too.
Yeah.
that's the thing is you thought you knew everything too. You wasn't always the knower of all of the knowledge that you have now. You had to.
You had to observe.
Right. You had to get into an argument with somebody when they told you you shouldn't do that, and you did it anyway, so you had to pick it up. Exactly.
You had to. Okay, well, let's throw a pause. I want to give a shout-out to our sponsor, Digital Guard. You know, I'm going to talk about that because it's a bomb company with the bomb products.
Okay.
Look up www.preventhomecrimes.com. Get you some home alarm. Sign up for you some monitoring, visual monitoring. For the hours where you cannot watch your home or business, this company has people sitting in an office that is watching your property live. You don't get that too much anywhere. ADT. Somebody has to trip the alarm. Then ADT gonna call you. They can't get you. They gonna call somebody else. If they can't get that person, they gonna call somebody else before they call the police. With this company, they have people looking at your property. So if somebody kicks in your door, the police is there right then and there. You don't have to wait. They have this boom microphone system to tell people to back up off your property. You got 3 seconds. Might as well go on, get back in the car, run on back down the street. Whatever you got to do, but don't go in that house because we have this house protected and you are going to go to jail. Ain't that the bomb?
Yeah, and in here is not where you want to be. You got 5 seconds.
No, in here ain't where you want to be. We watching you. We got eyes on you. Yes, shout out. That's our sponsor. Love you. Digital card. Look them up. PreventHomeCrimes.com. I'm going to take caller with the last four of 6781.
On the radio station. Hello.
Good evening, caller.
How are you?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
I'm doing great. I just want to put a little input on mother and daughter relationship. First thing is that I have grown children. And first of all, I'm going to tell you, my name is Rebecca. But I have grown children. And my relationship with my mom is good, but it's old school because they drew a line and you didn't cross that. I would never cuss in front of my mom. I don't drink in front of my mom. I wouldn't smoke in front of my mom. None of that. But I think that people are having kids so much younger, and they don't know how to put that mothering in there the way it was instilled in you. So with that and the issues that mother and daughter are having now, people have to understand you have to have unconditional, independent love. Because once your child gets a certain age, you can't make them do what they don't want to do. That when they're like
15, 17,
they're coming into their own. And even though you try to protect them from the mistakes you made, they still have to make their own mistakes. Some people don't learn from people.
Exactly.
And also, when you have a child that young and you don't know what to do, see, a lot of people give their kids this leeway. Back in my day, you got grounded.
There was
you got things taken from you. You know, they feel like they deserve a pair of Nike. They got to have that new outfit. No, the law says all you got to do is clothe them, feed them, and keep a roof over their head.
And that's it.
They had to have blankets and stuff that matches the curtains in their bedroom. They didn't tell them you have to buy Jordans and stuff. And they didn't tell them you had to go shopping at the mall. You could take them to Walmart.
They don't have to have
Goodwill, Family Dollar.
That's, and if you start bringing them something home like that, they'll straighten up knowing they ain't got that many years. You know what I'm saying? And I have a grown daughter. She's 36. We have bumped heads quite a bit. But what I am finally learning in my life, and mothers do learn too, I had this guilt complex because I wasn't with their father. I end up being a single parent, and I was trying to overcompensate for their father there. A lot of people tend to do that. And so you forget how to say no a lot of times. But it's never too late to say no. Like I said, I have a grown child, and I'm learning to say no to her now. And we have a much better relationship. She's understanding that, you know, a mother is priceless. They're irreplaceable. she has a child now that's 14 years old. So she's going through some things too. And please believe me, every generation that comes up, you get it 10 times worse than what you gave to your parents.
Oh, yes.
I've heard that before.
And that's what, you know, one of the callers said, it's like a generational curse.
It's no curse.
I know I fought so much growing up that it didn't make sense. Like, every time I turned around, my mom was somewhere, come pick me up from the school, come pick me up from the juvenile center for fighting, for acting up in school, for doing something. I gave my mom the blues, and I'd be daggone if this same daughter that I'm having issues with right now did not take me. I mean, I can't believe that I was worse than her when it came to the things that went on in school, the fighting and the getting in trouble. And my mom may disagree. She might say, yep, y'all did the same thing. But I promise I went through a lot worse than I put my mom through in my mind. But lo and behold, I have a granddaughter. And if the saying is true, this one here is going to catch it. She's going to catch mine. She's going to catch her mama's. She's going to get all that. And I'm going to sit back with my arms folded.
So you just got to let them and give that unconditional love and just say no and let them be independent. It's like, you know, when I started having kids, I had to pay my own bills. My child, you've been lucky because I've been having your back. But you have to understand, as you get older, I get older too. And it's not guaranteed that I'm going to be here. So you're going to have to figure things and bump your head on your
head.
You got to get out. You got to pay your own bills because I'm going to pay mine. You know, you don't have anybody that you can depend on when you become elderly. You know what I'm saying? Your kids, they got their mate. They got their lives, and mom comes on the back burner. You still have a relationship, but what your needs is to your child is not what their needs are. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you've got to let them go and just give them unconditional love. When they get mad at you, all you got to do is say, you know what, love you, but I'm not fixing to talk about this anymore.
Time to go.
Yep, it's time to go. Love you. Ain't no hard feelings or nothing, but we good.
I agree. Uh-huh. Thank you so much, Rebecca, for your insight on this, and you are absolutely correct. We have to let them. You know what? I'm going to put you back in the queue, but I'm going to make this because Tina just brought up a good point that humans, mothers, are the worst species when it comes to coddling and protecting and holding on to our kids forever. We do not want to let them go and live their own lives. You look at the birds, they kick their babies out the nest, go on, get with it. The kangaroos, they put you out the couch when you. But we, these humans, we are the worst. When it's time for our kids to go, we still want to be the one to say, no, we're not ready to let go. And that's where I was for the longest, but then I had to change my I'm going to throw you at you swim. I'm going to let you sink. But I'm not going
to
let you drown. So talking or not, I'm not going to let my child drown. I will jump in before she drowns. However.
But you're going to let her jump first.
She's gone. She jumped. She's swimming. I don't think she's sinking, but if she do, as long as she got her face up, nose up, and she's still breathing, she's good. When she get ready to drown, that's a different story. We got to learn how to let our kids, adult kids, be adults. And these teenagers and these young adults, we have to find a way to get them to understand or change their pattern or change their train of thought. So the caller that called in before with the 16-year-old daughter, show her the other side of life. You don't have to make sure that she watches the TV. Leave the TV in there. Take the buttons. Take the plug out the back. Let her look at the TV but can't turn it on. Take everything out of her room but her clothes and her bed. Take her and let her see how other kids less fortunate live.
Right. But
humble
that's the
her.
Materialistic aspect. And I agree, you got to humble her, but you still got to communicate with her and explain to her why. Because you know that's going to be a fight. You going to take my TV?
Yeah.
Oh, I can't watch TV. You know, it's like, no, I'm not taking your TV. I'm trying to get you set up for life. If you don't buy one, you don't have one. You know, you have.
And if you don't understand what I'm trying to teach you now, then when it's time for you to go, you really won't understand. Because there's rules and regulations everywhere. And unless you plan on not having a job and just being a bum, you're going to have to follow somebody's rules. You might as well start here. Kids that age don't understand that this is the prime time of their life. You are a child. All you have to do is be a child and mind. Clean up after yourself. Make good grades. Because once you cross over into adulthood, all those games stop, then the real life kicks in. Now, when you get to a point where you got a job and every time you get paid, you are left with 2 cents because you got to make sure you pay the rent. You got to make sure you pay lights. You got to make sure you pay water. So your teenage years and young adult years are the best years, should be the best years of your life because somebody else is responsible for all those responsibilities that involve you.
Tell it, I'm so tired of being an adult. Mama, if you're listening, please, can I come home and you pay all my bills? I'm sorry.
I don't want to come home, but you can pay all my bills, Mama. I'll go back to being a child. I'll wash, cook, clean.
I don't want to be an adult.
But I don't want to move back.
It's not all of this cracked up to be. I want to be a Toys R Us kid again.
Oh, no. No.
But we only got a couple of minutes left. You want to tell them what our show going to be about next week?
Okay, everybody, next week, if you tune in, and I hope you do tune in to listen to me and Ayana on our Against All Odds talk show, we will be talking about Mars versus Venus. If those of you that don't know what that means men and women are totally different. We're going to talk about what men want in a relationship and what women want in a relationship. And we're going to get these men on the line because sometimes we're confused about that, Ayana. We think we all want the same thing in a relationship, and that's just not true.
I don't think so at all. I really, I'm not confused about it. I just don't know what they want. I ain't confused. It can't be.
You ain't confused?
I know that for them.
You don't have an inkling?
I don't know.
You
want to
be,
the
same page with your mate or, your husband, your wife, your girlfriend. But sometimes that just ain't going to happen.
Women talk to women about what men want. Let's get some men on the line and they tell us what they want. Because a single woman telling another single woman how to get a man, they ain't getting nowhere.
That ain't right. And don't tell me. Don't tell me how to get a husband if you ain't had a husband or the last time you had a husband
right,
20 years ago.
Right.
You can't tell me.
Exactly. Exactly.
So I want to hear from some people that have been together for 20, 30 years. I want to hear from single men, and I want to know what they're looking for. I want to hear from single women what you're looking for. Let's just hear from everybody, and let's figure this thing out because this Mars versus Venus is real. It's a lot of single people out here.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we're going to be talking about on the 18th. And we're going to close out tonight's show with a commercial from our sponsor. If everybody could go and look at my blog, it is Victim Stoppers Renita at US. Let's talk about tonight's topic. Let's talk about last week's topic. Let's talk about next week's topic. I'm going to end tonight's show, Ayana, with a word from my sponsor. Do you want to say something else to the people before we end the show?
Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers that are listening, and happy Son Daughter Day to those that have lost their moms.
That's it. Happy Mother's Day, everybody. Have a good night. Tune in next week. Thank you for your support.
Having a camera system is not enough. We are told that surveillance cameras are effective crime-fighting tools because they deter and/or record evidence of criminal activity. But this information is false. Deterrence only works on some people, not all. One only has to keep up with the news being reported from around the world, and we see day after day of overnight burglaries or smash and grabs of businesses when they're closed. And these businesses have cameras. Cameras are great to record crimes, and they give you a record after a crime is committed. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. You may be asking, why use Digital Guard remote monitoring to protect your business or home? Why hire Digital Guard remote monitoring instead of hiring a security guard? What makes Digital Guard remote monitoring different from alarm monitoring companies? The answers to your questions are... What is the answer? The answer is Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring has been used to improve or replace traditional security guard services for many businesses. Our solution is a proactive and more effective way to preventing the act of a crime at less than 75% of the cost of having security guards. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring eliminates all of those associated fees that come with hiring a security guard staff. Digital Guard Live Surveillance Monitoring solves the problem of businesses burglarized overnight when they're closed. Our command center views live real-time video from any installed camera on our network. Upon viewing an attempted security breach, we can either dispatch a security response unit or immediately contact law enforcement. Digital Guard remote monitoring will improve safety, reduce accidents, reduce shrinkage, increase bottom line, raise staff accountability, and give business owners a sense of peace. Criminals don't care if they are caught on video. They only care if they get caught in the act of a crime. Be proactive, not reactive, when it comes to protecting your business or home. To get started, contact us at 888-640-5777, option 2, or visit www.digitalguardlive.com.